At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show, folks. We have NFL action coming up this Sunday, so let's get right down to it for week three because we've got plenty of games to dive into. Obviously, no bye weeks yet, so we've got quite a few games to cover, and we have a much larger afternoon slate as well of games, so it makes the DFS planning a bit broader because we can do some late swaps if need be, but I think I like the later games anyway for most of the slate. So, we'll talk about that as we kind of get along with some of these games. So, without much further ado, let's get into the action. So, coming up first, we have my Giants against the Cleveland Browns. All right, so the Browns are favored on the road, which is always awkward because realistically, have we seen Deshaun Watson play any meaningful or good football this year? I know the Giants are bad, but the Browns at 7.5? Really? Really? We're gonna give the Browns that much credit. I know the Giants suck, but has anyone watched Deshaun Watson play this year? Like, the only thing that would surprise me at this point with Deshaun Watson would be if he wasn't implicated on the Diddy tapes. Literally, everything with Deshaun Watson shows that he is disinterested with football. Why would this game be any different? I know Daniel Jones isn't good. I know this defense isn't any good. But the Cleveland offense hasn't shown anything to merit being favored by a touchdown. What are we doing here? I have to take the Giants, and that's not me being a homer. That's just me being, what are we doing with the Browns? Like, how are we rating them this high? Like, literally, I'm frustrated as a Giants fan, but the Browns favored by a touchdown? Come on. I know the Giants are bad. Believe me, the Giants are bad. Why are the Browns favored by a touchdown, though? Even with that, the Browns, I don't know. This is just we're being a little bit ridiculous here because there's not a scenario where I know that the Browns are not good, but we can't be serious with having this much of a bias in terms of the matchups this week. I have to be on the Giants side of the fence. Maybe it's just the homer in me, but I need to see something out of Deshaun Watson to feel remotely good about what the Browns have shown this year. Like, this is ridiculous. I don't like anyone for fantasy purposes in this game either, by the way. This is like just one of the stay away spots. I'm not even saying to bet the Giants. I'm just saying the Browns by a touchdown. I got to bet the Browns for a touchdown? Come on. What are we doing here, folks? This is a stay away spot. If you want to tease the Giants, so be it. But this is a stay away spot. I'm not interested in this game for any purposes, betting or DFS. All right, moving on. And we've got the Texans and Vikings. I'll be honest, Vikings as a home dog kind of worries me because I feel as though we're getting sucked into a lot of Texans. Because the Texans, they've won, but they've been pretty sloppy. This is one of those games where I can legitimately see it coming down to an extra point, someone go for a two-point conversion. That plus 2.5 is not great for the Texans side. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to lean more towards taking the Vikings here as the dog at home just because of the fact that, you know, earlier in the week, this line was 3.5 for Houston. Like, I love the Texans. Everyone knows I love C.J. Stroud. The Texans have not been clean with the fundamentals. They get a lot of false start penalties. Minnesota's loud. I don't really like this spot, truth be told, for a young team in the Texans and the fact that they haven't been clean. We just saw Minnesota find a way to beat San Francisco with the fundamentals. Like, this is, you know, again, I'm not trying to say that, like, the stories be rewritten with Sam Darnold, but Sam Darnold, a year in San Fran, and then being settled into Minnesota, obviously everyone thought it was going to be J.J. McCarthy. Sam Darnold has been pretty much the game manager role. Don't lose the game. Get the ball to Justin Jefferson. Run it with Aaron Jones. They've been doing the economical game plan that essentially was Green Bay's bread and butter for a number of years, you know, towards the back half of the Aaron Rodgers era. And I know everyone likes to say, like, Aaron Rodgers was lighting up the scoreboard. Aaron Rodgers was throwing for under 300 yards per game, even with Davante Adams. Like, Aaron Rodgers was very much in the game manager mode role. He may not want to admit it, but that's kind of what he was doing. But Sam Darnold throwing to Justin Jefferson, kind of managing without having T.J. Hockenson there in the tight end spot. You know, they've gotten some production out of the Johnny Muntz of the world, so you can look at Johnny Muntz as a pump play at tight end. Obviously, I'm very high on Justin Jefferson. On the Texan side, I am very high on Nico Collins. I think C.J. Stroud and Collins have had a great rapport with one another. Obviously, you can go to Stephon Diggs at 6,600, Collins at 7,300. You know, obviously Justin Jefferson's going to be expensive at 8,600, but, you know, I think it's worthwhile. Like, to me, a lot of what this kind of comes down to is, am I playing Justin Jefferson or am I playing CeeDee Lamb as my top wide receiver? Because there's so much free money in terms of, and we'll get to some of the other plays, that, you know, you have Charbonnet and Jordan Mason, way too cheap at running back. You can fit in the expensive wide receivers this week, and that's kind of the direction I'm leaning towards. But I like Justin Jefferson quite a bit. I like Nico Collins. I can have that correlate as a run back. Either way, I'm using the QBs. You know, this game should score points. I'm very much interested in DFS purposes, but I do think Minnesota scores points and keeps up with the Texans. I'm going to take the Vikings side of here as the dog. I think if you have it at 2.5 for picks pools, I'm okay with it. If you have it 3.5, I'm hammering that for picks pools. Still, if it locked at that number, to me, it's just there's a little bit too much respect being given to the Texans. The Texans are good, but I wouldn't say they're that dominant. So, moving forward, let's get to Indy and Chicago. I don't like either one of these teams. But I will say that Caleb has had more struggles with the Bears to the extent that I think it's clearly obvious that the amount of noise that was being directed at Justin Fields for being the cause of the Bears' struggles was very much influenced by people within the Bears organization and the media trying to scapegoat him versus what the actual problems are. Offensive line's not that great. Running game situation's not that great. You know, the Bears, I think they're going to struggle to score points in most of the year, even with the weapons they brought in. Everyone keeps saying it's like, you know, you've got Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen's out. He's been out. This is the concern with bringing in guys who are injured towards the end of their careers. Keenan Allen has not been healthy. And it's coming out of DJ Moore. And you've already seen Darnell Mooney like being very effective in Atlanta so far these first 2 weeks. You know, you start noticing some of the absences. And Rome Odunze has not really shown up yet. And his dad is posting clips of him being open. That's never a good sign. It's 2 weeks in and we've already got friction with the family members and the team. Yeah, not a good situation. I'll take the Indy side, even though I'm not sold on Anthony Richardson as well. But I think Indy has fewer issues than Chicago. I don't want any part of this game for fantasy purposes. I'm avoiding basically everyone that includes Jonathan Taylor. I don't feel great about anyone in this game, but I will take the Indy side of the equation here at home. And frankly, they should be favored by more. The fact that the Colts are, for all intents and purposes, looking closer to being a home dog was interesting to say the least. I found that one to be strange, quite frankly, that the Bears were getting that much respect. I don't know. I know Indy's not that great, but the Bear, like, Indy should be favored by 3 points at least. 1.5 is insulting. I'm taking the Indy side of the equation and calling it a day. Moving on to what should be the best spot of the day, which usually is a terrible sign the way this season has started for fantasy purposes. But Philly traveling to New Orleans to play the Saints. The Saints have been lighting the world on fire, and Philly's secondary has been hot garbage. And coming off a short week with Monday Night Football, you know, the Eagles secondary has not been good. So why would I expect New Orleans to stop scoring with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed against that Eagles secondary? I think you take the shots down the field with Derek Carr. I like Derek Carr. I like Shaheed. I like Chris Olave. Frankly, I don't think this is the best matchup for Philadelphia coming off of a lost Monday night. But, you know, with that being said, I do think on the flip side, this sets up as a Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts game, as well as Devonta Smith still being fed the ball because of A.J. Brown being out. I like this game from all those options that you can fit all of them in. And again, because of how cheap running back is, you can make it work. And I'll tell you why with the cheat code of tight end. We'll get to the Niners game, but all these pieces you can fit in relatively easy. From a fantasy side, I love this game. From an actual game perspective, you know, I hate Philly, but you know, I do think that it is telling that this line is only 1.5 for the Saints at home. And, you know, I don't really disagree with it. And, like, the weird part about this game is, you know, we were coming into the season. We had Philly as a Super Bowl team. If you still have Philly as a Super Bowl team, you should be taking the Eagles here. I'm going to take the Eagles here because I still believe in them as a Super Bowl team. That game Monday night was just garbage play calling by Sirianni, but I still think the Eagles are in a prime spot to win the NFC. If San Fran's going to be this impaired with McCaffrey being injured, Philly's the team to beat. So we move on. Game I have no interest in for any fantasy purposes whatsoever. The Chargers traveling to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Steelers favored by 1.5. We take the Steelers here and we ignore everything else in this game. I don't want to see this game on Red Zone. I don't want to see it on TV. This is going to be a crawl over glass game. Harbaugh is going to have that team running the ball. Justin Herbert's injured, by the way, folks. So, if the Chargers play Justin Herbert, I don't know what they're doing because Justin Herbert hurt his ankle. He's been injury prone. Justin Herbert should not be playing in this game. Justin Herbert's questionable to start. Why would Justin Herbert start this game when you got the Steelers defense primed and ready to beat the ever-living snot out of them? It makes no sense whatsoever. Justin Herbert's going to sit this game. I'll be shocked if Harbaugh plays him. That being said, Justin Fields running the Steelers offense has been pretty much the best thing you can say is mid, but you know, they're trying to play it as conservatively as possible, and he's still doing better than Kenny Pickett. That's not saying much. It's a very low bar to clear. Justin Fields could be playing better. He just hasn't. So we're going to take the Steelers 1.5. No interest in any of the fantasy assets in this game. So we can cross this game off completely. And then, you know, finally, I shouldn't say that. It's like we still got a few more. We still have a lot of early games. Jeez. Broncos traveling to Tampa to play the Buccaneers. Tampa favored by a touchdown. Listen, Broncos, West Coast to East Coast game. I'm going to hate it. I'm just not interested in this this Broncos team. I don't believe in Sean Payton. That being said, this is one of those spots where, you know, I can imagine my father about to strangle Baker Mayfield because these are one of those classic Baker Mayfield spots where he just lays a dud, and I'm still taking Tampa anyway, but this is literally the dud spot where Baker Mayfield's career is just like a freaking roller coaster. Like, this is the spot where I could see him just being absolute trash, but why would you be trash with a West Coast team playing in the East Coast 1 o'clock game? It shouldn't make any sense, but that's like just kind of what Baker does. So I expect Tampa to win. I'm worried about the line because this feels like a greasy 24-20 game, and this is a game that Tampa's expected to cover by a touchdown. I want to stay away from this game. I do not want to bet this game whatsoever. I'm staying away from this game. I'm going to give you the game to bet coming up right now in the early window. Green Bay traveling to Tennessee. I'm going to say this clearly. Will Levis is a donkey. I don't care what anyone says. This game should be favored to Green Bay. Because at least with Green Bay, they know Malik Willis is not the guy. But they're not going to let him lose the game for him. Will Levis has already cost the Titans 2 games already. Green Bay is just going to run the ball and wait for Will Levis to F up the game. Will Levis is going to lose this game for Tennessee. So, I'm just going to back the Packers side and take them as a dog on the road against Tennessee because I know Will Levis is going to find a way to screw this game up. Until he gets benched, Will Levis is the most dangerous person on the field for the Titans against them. Like, not the defense, just Will Levis himself. Because the throws that Will Levis chooses to make, the irrational decision-making Will Levis continues to make with bad turnovers. You know, you had his coach literally ask him, what the F are you doing on national TV? And then have to explain it and just say, I wasn't happy with his performance and I didn't understand what he was doing, because we were all there. We were all there with Brian Callahan having to watch Will Levis play. And he sits, like, he got hired to make Will Levis work for the Titans, so he's stuck having to play him. But I'm telling you, Will Levis is going to find a way to get himself benched this year at the rate he's going. And I do not expect anything different in this game. Will Levis is going to do something to trigger me when we cover the league later in the week. But there's no way I'm trusting Will Levis at all in this spot. Like, Green Bay has an athletic defense. They're going to be able to turn him over. I would actually, you know what? I should bet the Will Levis interception prop to be at least over one. Like, to throw at least one pick is almost a lock with Will Levis these days, if we're being serious here. Like, every game with Will Levis, we're just going to bet the turnover props against Will Levis, because the man clearly overvalues his own abilities versus the opposition, and that's a dangerous combo when you aren't as good as you think you are. So that is my take on Will Levis and the Titans for the immediate future, and I'm not shifting off of it. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this with the afternoon game. Stick around, folks.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Folks, our personal data is being distributed constantly, every day, without us ever doing business with a company. Data brokers are collecting people's personal information to sell it to any number of companies. They are gathering data from public records, databases, and your online activities, and use it without you even knowing it. These guys have your name, address, email. And if you ever wonder how spammers keep getting your phone number, the answer is data brokers. So what can you do to protect yourself from this nightmare? Incogni steps in to repeatedly scrub your name off of any database tied to these guys, as long as you are a customer. They go through the hassle of engaging with these companies, so you do not have to keep going through an endless chain of unsubscribe requests that go nowhere. Go to incogni.com and use discount code FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual membership. That's incogni.com/FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual plan. Let Incogni help ensure your data privacy today.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, we are back. Let's get into these afternoon games. Miami. Woo! Okay. Okay. Dolphins fans. Woo! Not good. This is not good, Dolphins fans. We got some concerns here. Dolphins traveling to Seattle to play the Seahawks. I mean, Seahawks favored by 5.5. It might as well be 7. Skylar Thompson is not very good. I don't know what to make of the Dolphins season. I honestly think the Dolphins should just call Ryan Tannehill now instead of just killing their season. Because waiting on Tua to get back probably isn't the wise thing. Tua may be done. He may want to come back, but if you truly value him as your franchise QB, you would hold him out probably the rest of the season. Unless he's wearing a halo cap or you get clearance from every medical professional in the world and no one is going to bite that bullet right now with Tua's concussion history. To me, Ryan Tannehill is the best available free agent you could pick up to at least stabilize the position. I mean, he's been a Dolphins QB before. It's not like they don't know who Ryan Tannehill is. Skylar Thompson is not it. They're just not going to win games right now with the current quarterbacking situation in Miami. They need help. Seahawks, Charbonnet is $6,000 on DraftKings on a team that you win by a touchdown. He's going to put up points in this matchup. Maybe you get some DK Metcalf as well. But because I think it's going to be a blowout, I think it's Charbonnet. And I think Charbonnet's the easiest play on the slate. You know, we could talk about other plays. I like Jordan Mason as well, but I think Charbonnet's the easiest play on the slate at $6,000. Like, it doesn't make any sense not to play him. So, to me, Charbonnet's the easiest play. I think it's a blowout situation for the Seahawks against Miami without a real starting quarterback. This is a very big problem. So, Miami's got to get it sorted out, and they don't have a ton of time. Next up, we've got Carolina traveling to Las Vegas to play the Raiders. The Raiders favored by 5.5, as they should be. Carolina going to Andy Dalton. I mean, Bryce Young was set up to fail. The team's not very good, but Andy Dalton should give them better performances. The question is that dead cat bounce enough with just putting Andy Dalton in the lineup? I do think Carolina scores, but I also think that if the Raiders are serious and put in the effort that they put in against Baltimore, they should be able to handle this Carolina team. So, to me, this is a take-the-Raiders situation. From a DFS standpoint, Gardner Minshew, Devontae Adams make a ton of sense against that Carolina secondary. I'm not a big fan of Zamir White. I'm still not buying it. So, to me, it's Gardner Minshew, Devontae Adams, and Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers continues to look good so far to start the year. I'm leaning more towards this being on the side with the Raiders passing attack than the rushing game. So, to me, I'm on the Raiders passing attack. Could we get some points out of Carolina? Yep, but would it shock me if Max Crosby and the defense just lit up Andy Dalton as well? Absolutely not. So, to me, I'm not buying it. Next up, we've got Detroit traveling to Arizona. Arizona is better than people think. I'm going to say this. From what I've seen from Arizona, they are better than what people think. I do think this defense will give Detroit some trouble. I think people expect Detroit's offense to roll Arizona, and I'm not sold on it. So I'm saying Arizona defense at 2,300, not the worst play if you're fitting in salary. You don't need to do it this week, but I do think if you're fitting in every big gun and using the budget running backs, you should be able to use Arizona to your advantage to squeeze in a couple extra $100 in that DraftKings lineup, and that makes all the difference in the world, in my opinion. So, to me, Arizona, I'm good with. I'm not loving this game from a fantasy perspective outside of Trey McBride. I know people want to play Sam Laporta. I'm not sold on it yet. Jahmyr Gibbs not getting enough touches because of David Montgomery and all the other options on Detroit. So, I'm not liking the Detroit offense, and I already told you, I think Arizona defense hangs in there. So to me, this kind of comes down to, do you want to play Kyler Murray and his passing options? Because Marvin Harrison Jr., you've already seen him ball last week You already have McBride there. I think it's a worthwhile matchup for targeting purposes. I'm just not as heavily on this game, but I do think it stays relatively competitive. I still expect Detroit to win, and because the line's only 2.5 for Detroit to cover, I'll give it to Detroit, but I think this game plays close, and people are going to expect it to be a blowout. I don't think it's a blowout. I think that's a very close game. Other game I think should be close, Dallas hosting Baltimore. Cowboys 1.5-point underdogs at home. Dallas had a complete no-show last week against the Saints. Complete and utter no-show. Now, the thought process would be that Dallas doesn't tackle Derrick Henry because they're soft, and the Baltimore Ravens just boat race them out of the building. Two blowouts in a row at home will get Jerry Jones talking, and he will talk a lot and probably make some outrageous promise. So while as much as it would make me thrilled to see the Cowboys already in utter misery in week three with two blowout losses at home, I'm going to lean on the Cowboys showing up to play, Dak putting up points with CeeDee Lamb. I think you can throw on this Ravens secondary. So to me, Dak Prescott with Jake Ferguson, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, you know, you throw in various combinations, I think Dak might be the highest scoring QB on this slate. And realistically, because of the fact that the Ravens should be able to put up points as well, this is going to be, you know, outside of the Philly-New Orleans game, I expect this to be the most back-and-forth game in terms of a high-scoring game this weekend. So that's where I kind of look at it from the standpoint of, you know, focusing in on some of the plays in this game. You know, obviously Baltimore, you have Lamar, you have Derrick Henry, Zay Flowers, you know, between Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely, you got two tight ends that could have monster days. This game has quite a bit to target. If you're doing afternoon only, I would focus on game stacking this game versus the others. But yeah, that's where I'm focusing my attention on, especially for afternoon only. But even for main slate, I like this game quite a bit. And you know, do I think Dallas wins? They can. I'd probably still take Baltimore, but I think this game's a lot closer than people give it credit for, because I think people are expecting the Ravens being 0-2 to just dominate Dallas, and I don't see it happening. So I think it's a close game. All right. Final afternoon game of the day. San Fran traveling to L.A. to play the Rams. You know, Niners favored by a touchdown. The Niners should take care of business here. The Rams have a bunch of injuries up front on the offensive line. San Fran's defense should take it over. And, you know, even without Deebo Samuel and George Kittle, obviously McCaffrey's been out. This is a very concentrated game. You have Brandon Ayuk, you have Jordan Mason, and you have Juwan Jennings. Eric Salbert is the backup tight end, who's now the starter at 2,500. But between Jennings, Ayuk, and Mason, that's the offense. It's going through those four guys. So, realistically, between the Dallas game and the pieces from San Fran, that's your build, for especially if you're just doing afternoon only. But even for main slate, you could do an afternoon-only build and do it that way and just backload it for the second half of the game. So, to me, that's where this slate kind of comes down to, is you have so many cheap options. You use Charbonnet. You use Mason. You just fit in the cheap pieces in San Fran. Mix in some Dallas players. That's the build. It's a very straightforward DFS build this week. So, to me, all these other games, doesn't really matter. I think it's the San Fran game because of the condensed route tree, the Dallas-Baltimore game because of all the options there. You already have Philly and New Orleans there to take some pieces out of. And then you have a cheap running back in Charbonnet who's a free square. That's the week. You know, it's a very straightforward DFS build, in my opinion. But, you know, that's the way I see it going. Yeah, there could be some outliers, but I think the focus should be on those games. So, yeah, that's the DFS slate. And then as you kind of get into it for some of the rest of the week, we got KC in Atlanta. Obviously, I'm taking KC side, even on the road in Atlanta. The Chiefs should find a way to cover 3 points, so I'm good with that there. Bills at home against Jacksonville. Jags, you know, I'm just not sold on the Jags, so I'm taking the Bills at 5.5, even though the Bills are so irresponsible at times with how they manage games. I'm still taking the Bills. And then we know the Commanders aren't very good. Traveling to Cincy should win and win convincingly. I'm taking the Bengals -7.5. So, interesting week for week three. We are going to start seeing some separation with these teams. But at the end of the day, when it comes right down to it, you know, these should be relatively straightforward games, but we are going to see some outliers. I just don't in terms of what we've seen from some of these teams, I don't think we're going to see stability in these teams until week six. It's still going to take some time, but even with that, I think most of this week should be relatively straightforward. And then, you know, we'll probably get the oddball game where it just turns it on its head. But like I said, that Tampa team, I've seen this story before, but I got to believe that it's going to stabilize. But yeah, we'll see how these games turn out. But that's going to do it for us. I'm going to get out of here. Have a good one, folks. Good luck with your lineups and your bets today. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.